freak. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, though, is that, like, I honestly think that the people who've died are actually better off than the people that are still here, you know, on this fucking wasteland, this fucking cesspool of a planet that we call Earth, big dumb fucking rock that I think we've just totally fucked up. That's just my, like, I think I just prefer to be dead. You know what I mean? Just fucking, because honest, what? Yo, we're on? Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 86 of Feel Good Friday. That's right, 86 FGF, Winterfest 86. That's a reference to Hot Tub Time Machine, my favorite movie of all time. Still number one, although it's pretty neck and neck with Everybody Wants Some. I watched both this past week because Netflix added Hot Tub Time Machine and Pluto TV actually added Everybody Wants Some. It's a nice little free service. You deal with ads, but it's okay. We deal with ads every day. Anyway, we are here, episode 86, FGF. Special guest on today, Spencer Harrison Levine. Excited for that interview. Should be nice. He seems like a really, really cool dude, really funny. First off, though, a couple things. My last episode was the Halloween Hangover, and I've had some people already ask me, Joe, why didn't you use the spooky intro music and the spooky interlude music? You know, it's a Halloween episode. And I didn't because I just forgot. I just forgot. Straight up, I forgot. And you know what? You're going to have to deal with it. Sometimes people forget. You know, I'm probably going to forget more and more as I get older. My memory? Not great. Not great. I remember certain things that probably just not important and I don't need to remember. However, I forget certain things, like to put the spooky intro, outro, interlude music. And I also forgot to review Five Nights at Freddy's because I watched that in October. That came out on Peacock. I did not see it in theaters. Saw it on Peacock. And you know what? Since I forgot to do it in the rapid review, I'm going to give it its own review right now. That's right. Five Nights at Freddy's, you get your own review. Look at you, all special. I guess it is pretty special because, sorry if you heard that little noise. I'm barefoot right now because it's a low 60 degree day, sunny day in November. So I'm out here wearing flip-flops and shorts like I'm about to go down to Port A, get a margarita poured over my chest, have someone lick it off. I don't care who at this point. It could be Carl. Anyway, so Five Nights at Freddy's. Let's get into it because I have some thoughts. I actually had my hopes up pretty high for this movie. I had my doubts, but I also had my hopes up. You know what I mean? It's like going, hoping for the best, but expecting the worst, that type of deal. And I think that was actually an accurate feeling to have because it was a little bit of both. It was a little bit of everything. I wish it would have been rated R. I think it could have been a lot more gruesome. You got these huge animatronic, scary fucking things. And they're just, they're killing people, but like, they're not, like, it could have been a lot more brutal. And I'm one of those horror fans that, like, I don't say it to sound cool. Like, yeah, it wasn't bloody enough. But a movie like that, I feel like should be very bloody. It's like how the Venom movies should have been rated R, not PG-13, because Venom and Carnage, they're just violent fucking characters, and they had to downplay them. Deadpool did the right thing by making their movies rated R and giving Wolverine, Logan, an R-rated movie. Like, solid moves, and those were great movies. So, just saying, I think Five Nights at Freddy's should have been rated R. Josh Hutcherson is the main dude in it. He did decent. He did fine. Would I have preferred someone else? Absolutely. Did I get someone else? No, so I'll take what I got. You play the hand that you're dealt. And Josh Hutcherson, yeah, he's not a blackjack. He's not 21, but he's like, a, you know, 15, 16. Like, you can say hit me and you could ask for more, but, you know, you could also just play it safe and you might end up with a win. And he did fine. He did fine. Now, going into this movie, I just thought it was this abandoned Chuck E. Cheese type place, shut down. I don't know why. I didn't look up a backstory because I never played the games. I never played the games. I dated a girl whose little brother used to play the game. So I played that. I played the game like one night with him, but I was like drunk because it was like a family party. So I was throwing back Modelos, and it's always Modelo time in that household. It was a fun group. Always a fiesta. Now I'm sounding racist. All right. But I was a little buzzed, and So I remember like sitting on the couch and he was playing it and he was like, Joe, come check out this game. And so we were playing it and I was like, oh, that's scary, huh? And I didn't think twice about it. And then the movie gets announced and I'm like, I love horror movies, so I'm going to check this out. And I did. And I didn't know any of the backstory. I just thought it was about creepy animatronics that were, you know, killers. They're all, you know, Chuck E. Cheese went rogue. That's basically what I thought Five Nights at Freddy was. There's a whole lot more to it. It gets really deep. There's like a child abduction theme and, you know, child like murder almost. And it's like, as a father, that is a scary subject to even talk about, let alone watch in a movie. So that was a bummer. Matthew Lillard is great in it. Although, man, Buddy's he's come a long way from Stu. You know what I mean? He's getting up there, but he still does great. I still love Matthew Lillard, and I thought he did fine. He was the bad guy. And I just don't like how a movie went from like these animatronic things are, these are the villains, these are the slashers, if you will. And then there's like about a maybe 15, 30 minute gap in the movie where all of a sudden it's like there's like a montage with this upbeat music. And the little girl is like dancing with the animatronics. And it's like, wait a second, maybe these are the good guys. And then they kind of turn out to be the good guys, but they're still not, they're doing a lot with it. They're doing a lot with it. And personally, I thought that it actually might have been better if they just kept it simple and they just had haunted animatronics. Demon got into them somehow. And you know, it's like a Chucky thing where it's like they made the doll and it malfunctioned, or a serial killer broke into, I think it's called Fazbear Freddy's or Freddy Fazbear's, something like that. I think that's what the pizza place is actually called. And like, you know, did like old Chucky style thing where he like split his soul into the animatronic things. But apparently Matthew Lillard was a child abductor slash killer, and he hid the bodies into the animatronics. So then their souls took over, and then they went out. Like, ever since then, they've been trying to like possess more children or something like that. I'm sure someone who like thoroughly enjoyed the movie and knows the story could explain it a lot better. Just outsider looking in, that's what it felt like. It felt a little too deep. I would have preferred something more simple. However, it was entertaining. You know, like it's creepy. I love abandoned places, and a lot of this movie, it looked like an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese, Hollywood Park, MGM type of thing. Odyssey Fun World like type of environment, but just totally abandoned. Like, everything's very retro and 90s, and it looks really cool like that. So from that aspect, it's great. I love that kind of environment in the movie. That and like obviously like fall settings, orange, red, yellow, brown leaves, not brown eyes, butthole joke, and, you know, wind blowing and the rustling of the leaves and stuff like that. So It Lives Inside was great for that, but I already talked about that. But next to that is abandoned places. So that's why I really like The Last of Us, because it's post-apocalyptic. So everything's abandoned pretty much. And the stuff that is occupied still looks abandoned. Like, they're not trying to maintain any upkeep on it. That's one thing that draws me into post-apocalyptic zombie thrillers, but, also drew me in to this. It was a fine movie. There were some solid scares in it. There were some ups and there were some downs. There were highs and there were lows, and that's just life. You know, you're going to get highs, you're going to get lows, and, you're just going to have to deal with both and keep on pushing, you know, keep on trucking. That's the best you can do. And if you're doing your best, then God damn it, you're doing better than most people. I'll say that, because a lot of people give up, and that's a damn shame. So that got real deep, huh? Anyway, Five Nights at Freddy's. Solid movie. It's on Peacock. I get that. So I'll probably watch it again. Give it a shot. Not showing it to Finn quite yet. It's not rated R, but it's not that family friendly. Like, there is a beheading in it of a person, not of an animatronic. That would have been wild. But, and then, like, the whole thing of, like, you're taking a job. Like, the whole thing is kind of a stupid fucking plot, because you're taking a job as a security guard for an abandoned, not amusement park, but Fun Time Pizzeria. I don't know what to call that place. Pizzeria. We'll go with pizzeria. You're taking Children's Pizzeria? That sounds kind of gross, huh? Whatever. We'll go with pizzeria. You're taking a job as a security guard for an abandoned pizzeria. That alone should be like, I know desperate times call for desperate measures, but that's a little sketchy. I probably wouldn't do it, even if my options were limited, as Matthew Lillard says in the movie. And then a cop shows up every night and she's like weirdly obsessed with the place. And like he's like befriends her. And I think if they do a sequel, they're probably going to end up in a relationship. Kind of weird as well. I think at one point she tries to actually kill him and then she's like, no, this is wrong. And then like is on his side. So there's a lot of like, I think potential twists that they were going for that didn't really land. They didn't land the plane like it should have. They're not Sully here. They're not landing it on the lake. That thing kind of went underwater. But overall, solid watch. Nice and creepy. Again, abandoned Chuck E. Cheese. That's like a top 10 creepy place to have abandoned, especially with those animatronics hiding behind the curtains. That was always, I always looked at those things. I never liked them. I never liked the animatronics. I was never like front row. Like, yes. Chuck E. Cheese fucking rocking out. No, I was there for the games. And those things look creepy to me. I always just looked way too deep into their eyes. Way too deep. So, there's my review. Five Nights at Freddy's. Didn't hate it. Didn't mind it. Didn't love it. Somewhere in between. Yeah. Anyway, interview coming up with Spencer Levine. Should be pretty interesting. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Enjoy. Feel good Friday. Winterfest 86, we were here, baby. Let's go. Poisons tonight. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Feel Good Friday, episode 86. We have a very special guest on today, Spencer Levine. Thank you so much for being on. I came across one of your, I believe it's a TikTok, that I saw it on Instagram. It's you and had to be a Hobby Lobby or something like that with the wine o'clock or wine time sign. It was one of the funniest things I've seen, and I think it's blowing up. I think it's going viral. So looked out, and you actually have a very interesting IMDb page or resume. That's the word I'm looking for. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a Walmart. Ah. Just to give Walmart a quick shout out because they need it. But that was a Walmart. Yeah, it's doing numbers. I mean, it's kind of slowed down since I posted it a month or so ago. But it's just one of those ones that's been catching.
Yeah. Was the lady in the background? Was that she wasn't part of it? That was just a bystander.
No, she wasn't. No, the my friend recording. Is a woman named Jane Spencer.
Okay.
Who was actually, so I mean, a little context behind that video is I was on location in Indiana filming an indie feature that it was a great time and we were all hanging out. Jane was in charge of wardrobe, but she's also in a band called Finkel. They're really great. Quick shout out, Finkel, F-I-N-K-E-L. But they're great, and it wasn't intended to be a TikTok. It was actually just a video she was taking on of her phone because I was doing a bit that wine mom bit, and she put it on her story. She tagged me, put it on my Instagram story, and I've had a TikTok account for a little bit now, and I've had a couple videos do well. And I don't know, you never know when something's going to do well. You just got to post something you think is funny. I think is funny at least. And if like three people like it, then I can hang out with those three people, and have a good time. But that one specifically, yeah, it was just kind of like a silly little Instagram story. And then I remember like waking up the next morning, kind of like half awake. And I like shot her a text. I was like, hey, can you send me that video? I want to put it on my TikTok. And then fell asleep again and posted it. And yeah, it pretty quickly did good numbers. stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, I know, first and foremost, at least from what I could tell, you're an actor.
Yeah.
Have you thought about almost doing TikTok as like a side quest? Like that's like a side hustle? And because I don't know, like if one video takes off, I feel like sometimes that's all it takes and then you gain your following, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought about it. If I can get the hang of it a little bit better, maybe I could do it more. But honestly, I don't know if I, and this is not to, you know, can I swear? I don't know what
absolutely. You want. Yeah.
This is not to fucking shit all over those fuckheads. No, it's not to shit on influencers, but it's just not what I want to be. You know, yeah. It's not necessarily my path, which is why, because I have posted before and I've got, you know, the Wine Mom video isn't even, I didn't even finish telling this, I'll finish that up in a second, but yeah. the Wine Mom video isn't even my most popular TikTok. It's one that's doing pretty well right now, but it's definitely a good one. But I post, you know, semi-frequently, and it's usually whenever I feel like it's worth sharing, yeah. Which is a personal creative hang-up of mine, and I don't know if you get this too, about like what's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And for years I didn't post at all because I was like, the whole idea felt dumb to me. Everything, every you know, part of it felt dumb. Then you'd watch these videos of people making a stupid joke or the same joke that someone else made but worse,
yeah.
Doing well. And I'm like, okay, if it's just making a dumb joke for someone to laugh at, whatever. But to finish the random woman in the TikTok, I forgot the answer. So yeah, so we were all filming and we're all hanging out, and Jane was just, yeah, wildly recording. I didn't direct her for whatever. That poor woman got, you know, caught a, what do they call it? Astray.
Yeah.
She got astray. And I mean, luckily I don't think, I mean, some of the comments on it are like, oh, she wanted to buy it, or, you know, she was, you know, she's hovering around it because she's interested in it, which, mm-hmm. You know, people on, you know, the internet can be very, very funny. And then you occasionally get people who are like, you shouldn't film strangers, like, whatever. It's like, you know, if she comes forward and she hates the video, it's ruined her life, we can talk about it. But she's not the butt of the joke of that video. Yeah. If people want to make it about that, then that's their deal. But she, I don't think she just saw a bunch of stupid, you know, kids filming, yeah, in a Walmart. She doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was in on it because to me it seemed like she had the look of like a disappointed mother. Like she was like, goddamn kids. Like, yeah. It was that. So that's why I thought she was part of it. But yeah.
No, that's just how people my parents' age look at me generally. So I evoke that from that kind of demographic.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your look, I went through your Instagram, obviously, trying to do some research. You got a pretty crazy Instagram, just page. Like you have the look of like, you already look like a huge Hollywood star. Like just the, I don't know if it is the photography or what, but like you got the look, so.
Thanks, man. Well, I mean, you can, you know, that's very nice of you to say, but if you look at the dates on when those images are posted,
it's been a while.
Pretty spread out.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But I mean, a lot of it too, though, is my younger brother, who's way more versed in social media. He's sort of my unofficial social media manager. I'll send him pictures, and he'll X out the ones I shouldn't have.
Wow.
Years ago. He went through my Instagram and one of my older brother's Instagrams, and he just like sent screenshots that he drew over where he's like, you need to take this off your Instagram, take this off. He's like, this is dumb. And it was harsh, and I didn't agree with all of it, but yeah, it's weird. When I first moved to LA, I wasn't really a social media person. I was pretty against it.
Yeah.
And just with how the industry works and just with how the world works, it is kind of like a, you either have it or you don't, and I've found that, you know, having it helps, mm-hmm, more than it hurts.
Yeah.
And I can make it whatever I want, so because of that I don't post very frequently because I'm pretty particular,
right?
But But when I do post, I stand by it. I'd like to get around doing that less and just posting stupid stuff for stupid stuff's sake, because truthfully, no one cares. Like, no one remembers an Instagram post you made, but it there's a weird weight to it, I feel like. And maybe that's just me. But thank you for saying that. Thank you. I'm proud of my Instagram.
You should be, man. Lots of cool stuff on there, in my opinion. But yeah, I feel like posting, it's like you have the celebrities that they have no social media, they don't post at all, and then you have the ones posting all the time. And I feel like you're finding out where you're gonna end up right there.
Yeah, I mean, and truthfully, like, the celebrities that don't post all the time are usually celebrities who have already had a career prior to social media.
That's fair.
I mean, I would love to get to a point where I don't have to share anything about my personal life, particularly as an actor. Mm-hmm. Which because I feel like that kind of breaks the illusion a little bit of, like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And if I play something similar to myself, it's, you know, I can't cheat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I try to do with my TikToks too, or I really try not to take myself too seriously, and I try to make them just only funny.
Yeah.
You know, I try not to get too personal on it, or you know, go too deep. Sometimes I can, you know, talk a little bit about personal feelings and stuff, but for the most part, I am. If people are on it, I want to be entertaining them in some way, and not, I don't know, like having a discourse. You know, like the amount of TikToks. I don't know how much you're on the app. I'm on it, you know, too much. But like the amount of TikToks that people are like we need to talk about this. I'm like, no, we don't. No, we don't. I don't want to talk to you. Who are you? Why do I care what you have to say about that?
Right.
And what, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. No, the bad news is going to make its way into your life through some form. I want to go on social media for the funny things. Funny things or sports updates. Those are my two, like, what I go up there for. Like, I don't want to hear about your, I get it, it is free speech, you get to do whatever you want, but I'm not trying to read a whole paragraph about your opinion of what's happening overseas or anything like that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm like, the fact that there are people who are so proactive and feel like they can exercise their voice in their video essays, I respect the hell out of. Mm-hmm. And if that's how they find their passion, that's awesome. But for me, when someone's like says, like, you need to listen to this right now, I immediately don't want to listen to it. It's almost like it's like a psychological thing, like a sleeper agent sort of situation where that phrase makes me tune out immediately, you know, like, you should be doing this right now. I'm like, don't tell me what I should be doing right now, even if I should be doing it, you know, tax man. Oh boy.
So you're not gonna be one of those that like lip syncs a motivational speech or something like that, because I see that shit a lot.
Yeah, gosh, those are interesting to me. Like, yeah, the lip syncing and like the trends, like that's the other thing where like people who are, you know, using the same audio with either the same joke or the same context. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. And I know if I did, I would probably be more of a full-time influencer, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, like, it doesn't feel genuine. It feels like you are, I don't know, mimicking, which is fine, because there's nothing against mimicking, but like for someone who's, you know, trying to work full time as a creator or a creative rather.
Yeah.
I don't want to come across as someone who's copying someone else, you know, even if I straight up am sometimes.
I got you.
Yeah.
So it says when you Google Spencer Harrison Levine, actor, writer, producer, which out of those three would you like to be known as the most? Like when people think of you, you want to be like, he's the writer or the actor. Like, yeah.
That's a good question. Probably actor. That's where I think really found I don't, for a long, since a very young age, I've kind of known that this is what I'd be doing, and that, that comes a lot from my upbringing. But like, I mean, there was a time where I wanted to be known as creator, and that's, you know, because that was really into Ricky Gervais at that time, just like, you know, like someone who does their own, does everything all encompassing, and you know, creates their own stuff and produces their own stuff and writes their own stuff. And I still want to do that. I want to write more, and I want to produce more. I've even thought about directing a little bit, but honestly, my strengths are with acting.
Yeah.
For the most part, and if it leads me down other paths, that would be awesome. But the writing is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Writing is one of the hardest things anyone could do.
Mm-hmm.
And producing can be a nightmare in and of itself, an unrewarding one. But I don't know. With acting, it's, you know, it's immediate. It's happening in front of you. You're living in it. You're being. God, I'm a douchebag. But this is not even close, man. That's how I feel about it. Personally, I've always admired, you know, character actors more than, you know, the leads or the protagonists in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, I don't know, there's so many actors that, you know, you watch TV or you watch even commercials or whatever, and they pop up and you know that person, but you don't know what their name is. But you're like, oh my God, I love that guy. That guy, I see him in everything. What the fuck is that guy's name? Those people I respect the hell out of, because all you know is their performance. You don't know anything else about them, which is, you know, that's where the social media comes into play. But because today everyone needs to know so much about everyone constantly.
Nothing's and private.
Nothing's private. And I don't know how I feel about it, but
gotcha.
But I can answer that question and stop talking.
Going through your IMDb page, it's a lot of TV and a couple short films, some actual long films, I guess, just regular films are what they're called. So you got a lot of that. Did you ever do theater? Did you do theater growing up?
Oh yeah. I did almost exclusively theater growing up. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota originally. Shout out Twin Cities. And it's a lot of people don't know, it's more theater seats per capita than New York. You have to hit that per capita pretty hard, but it's a lot of theater. And I grew up doing a lot of community theater, a lot of school, obviously, you know, plays and stuff and musicals. And then that eventually kind of moved into like local professional theater. You know, I did a couple commercials when I was pretty young, and I had some, you know, I had some close calls with Hollywood, in like middle school.
Oh, wow.
And that was kind of like a turning point for me, where I was like, okay, like this is something I'm like, everyone in the world is kind of pointing at me to do.
Yeah.
And I love doing it. So yeah, I might as well do it, because if I don't, like, there was years where, you know, growing up, people would be like, you know, what do you want to be or whatever, and I was like, I don't know, a doctor, or at one point I was like, a detective. I was like, I would not be a good detective. My girlfriend is in the corner holding her mouth at the thought of me being a detective.
Hey, I mean, you were a probation officer. That's somewhere on the same path, right?
That was Black Jesus. That was my first major role, I think, on a TV. I mean, it definitely said when I moved to Los Angeles. That was I think I was like 19 or 20 when I shot that, which was weird because pretty young to be a probation officer, a parole officer.
Right.
That was cool. That happened pretty early into me living in Los Angeles, and I was like, okay, that's a good sign that I'm on the right track. But yeah, a lot of theater. I did, you know, I went to Shakespeare camp, and that was my choice.
Gotcha. That was my choice.
You can imagine my complexion for years as pasty, nerdy kid. So unfortunately, if you want to talk sports, I'm really not going to be good at it. I've had a bunch of commercials for sports.
I was going to say, I saw the Little Caesars. You got to chill with Matt Stafford.
I did. That was fun. Yeah. He's very nice. And I knew he was a big deal, but I, you know, don't watch, so I wasn't, you know, geeking out about it.
Right.
But there was a funny moment on set, where, you know, they had this in this living room mock up, and I'm sitting on this couch, and the first thing they got with him was, I don't know what, at some point in the commercial, he's holding I got a bunch of cats running around here, because we're fostering a couple and we own a couple.
Gotcha.
Matt Stafford comes down the staircase. It was supposed to be like a sitcom dad, is what the director was like going for. The directors, there's two of them, and he's holding, you know, a comical amount of pizzas in one hand and both hands, and there's like a 2-liter balancing on the top of it, and so they're like duct taping those to his hands, or they're strapping a man in the art department, and I'm sitting on this couch, and he's looking, I could feel him looking at me, kind of like staring at me a little bit, and I go, he's gonna ask if I'm the guy from Stranger Things, because I get that.
I get it
constantly, and so I'm in my head, I'm trying to think of a retort, because I'm like, I know he's gonna say it. And from across the set, he goes, hey man, anyone ever tell you look like that guy from Stranger Things? And I said, no, anyone ever tell you look like the quarterback from the LA Rams? He laughed at it. He thought it was cute, but I was wearing a mic, and some guy in like the crew, who probably the, you know, script supervisor or someone listening, I just heard in like a group of crew guys go, I was like, oh good, someone else heard it.
That's awesome that you had that one in the chamber ready to go, you know.
I had to
get that, like, I'll make a joke, it goes okay, and then just 5 minutes later I'm like, fuck, this would have been so much better if I said this. I knew it was coming though. That's good.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. That's I used to have that with honking while driving. Now I'm better at it. I'm better, but sometimes you'll be, I mean, particularly in LA, you'll see people do just the most batshit things, and then you're so baffled by it, you don't know what to do. You're like, people doing U-turns in the middle of red lights, and it's like, and it's only until 20 minutes after the fact where I'm like, I should have fucking honked at that guy. I should have let him know I hate him from my car. I should have let him know.
Yeah. Was the Little Caesars commercial, was that before or after his Super Bowl?
See, now this is where the sports questions
This is the last one, I swear. I was just curious.
The big one? Like, the one that, like, he...
Yeah, the one that he won, yeah, with the Rams.
It was after. That one was kind of recently. That one was maybe, we shot that 2 years ago or so. Yeah. You know, he was hot shit, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's impressive.
Yeah. Were you watching him and, like, do his lines, and you're kind of just, like, in your mind, you're like, could have done this a lot better, but, like, you can't, like, critique him or anything?
It's funny you say that, because the line was a pizza pregame with pals, Pepsi, and pizza.
Yeah.
And... for commercials, in particular, they're like, you know, you could do it funny or you could do it solid, you can nail it, but no matter what, the director's gonna be like, that was great, do it faster. And I hit a point where he was just on me,
yeah.
and uh, and I was locking up, which I rarely happens because I usually try to be very prepared.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was like a pizza, I like, I couldn't get it out. Because I was like, oh my God, I can't say it any faster than I've just said it.
Yeah.
And Stafford was on the couch, you know, we're touching thighs.
Yeah.
We're like right next to each other. And he leans over and he's like, pizza pregame. I got that. I was like, no. He's like, do not give me a line reading, Matthew Stafford.
You're like, I don't come onto the field and show you how to throw the ball.
Exactly. It was like, this is making it worse, actually, that
you
are directing me right now. He was pretty solid. I mean, he they had cue cards up for him, which is not, you know, that's not like a dig at him. That's pretty standard.
Right.
But they didn't have him up for me, and I would have appreciated it. I could have used it.
Right. That's funny. So let's go through some of these, some of the list here. I think the main one I wanted to talk about, because I'm a big horror movie fan, so
yeah.
Hashtag Chad gets the axe. I've watched the trailer. I've watched some clips. I haven't done it yet. Like can I find it? Is there a streaming service that's doing it?
So right now it's available for video on demand. You have to rent it, and you could do it on Amazon, or you could do it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ideally, we wanted it to be on Shudder.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah, and then there's a slew of reasons why it's not, but mm-hmm. it's not to say that it won't be.
Fair.
And it helps if people rent it, because it is good,
mm-hmm.
and it's just with the strikes that have been happening, there was a buying freeze, and it was like a bad time to release a movie, and that's hard with indie filmmaking, because you don't know.
Yeah.
But truthfully, it's been getting, I mean, we had a really good festival run with it, and mm-hmm. We've gotten a lot of really, really great reviews. Last I checked, it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It probably isn't that anymore.
It still was. I checked it last night, just to be sure.
Is? Okay. Shit. Great. Awesome. I mean, and that's not because it doesn't deserve it. It genuinely is a good movie. And it was, I'm super excited about the short. It was a short originally a few years ago. And we got funding for it to make it a feature during COVID.
Okay.
And with things in LA, like you'll hear, you'll do a lot of projects, particularly short films, where the director is like, and we want to make this a feature. We're going to make this a feature. And you're like, okay. You're like, it's very hard.
Yeah.
Making a movie is very hard. Making a short film is very hard, particularly if you're going for something, like if you have a message. But during COVID, I get a call from the director, Travis Bible, who's great. He's had stuff playing Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing director. He works for MTV, but he's gonna go off to bigger things because he's just very smart.
Yeah.
And he called me during COVID, and he's like, we got funding to make a. He's like, we're looking for funding to make a Chad feature. Hashtag Chad gets the axe feature.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, bro, good luck with that. I will believe it when I see it. And then, you know, sure enough, a year, I think, or two after the fact, I was eating my words, because we did it. We shot, it's shot all on iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
We shot it on two different iPhones. But it's, for those listening, it's a found footage horror comedy that takes place over the course of a live stream. It follows four influencers as they spend the night in Devil's Manor, which is a house out in the middle of nowhere, Louisiana, where a bunch of cult murders happen. And it follows #Jesus. It follows Chad Ryan, played by me. #Jesus. It follows #Jesus. Maybe there's a little Jesus in it. Spicy Steve, played by Michael Benigni, who's another great actor who works like crazy.
Yeah.
Tanisha Figueroa and Cam Vitash play Jennifer Ortiz and a character named Spencer Logan, I think is his last name. And they're also influencers. And it's fun. Like I said, it takes place over the course of a live stream. There's a live comments feed that happens throughout it, and a lot of the reviews we get are about how accurate and how funny the comments are.
Yeah.
So And I've often said after viewings, it's worth it to watch it alone just for the comments.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely worth the watch. The trailer's available on YouTube, I think, and my Instagram page.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going through reviews, and the never-ending comments, it seemed pretty polarizing. Like, there were a lot of people that thought it was great. I saw a couple that were like, it's distracting.
Sure.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that I can't recall a movie where I've seen that before. So I think it's fun, it's innovative, and absolutely gonna probably enjoy it, I would assume, once I finally watch it.
I think you will. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's definitely a different dynamic of watching a movie. Mm-hmm. And depending on where it was screened, mm-hmm. we get different reactions. In more intimate theaters, people are more scared of it.
Yeah.
And on the bigger screen, when people can really see those comments and they can see how kind of goofy these performances can get, they think it's funnier. They think it's more funny than scary.
Yeah.
But yet the comments, I will say, it's my biggest concern when I show it to a new audience is if they're going to be overwhelmed by it, because it is it's pretty stimulating.
Yeah.
But you get the hang of it pretty quick.
For sure.
I think. But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch, and I don't say that about everything I do.
Fair enough, man. Well, also coming out, I believe it's coming out. I'm not sure if it is out yet. Raymar.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like, from what I could tell, just this medieval badass flick. So what's going on with that one?
Yeah, that is still in post-production. We shot that at March of this year.
Okay.
March of this year. So that's still got a ways to come on it, but I just saw a cut of it recently.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's pretty freaking epic. It's a medieval political drama.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like a total dream to work on. Because like as an actor, you get like, you know, you have like a couple like bucket list things you want to do.
Yeah.
And like wearing armor was one of them.
Hell yeah.
And that's a really fun one. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really fun one. And it's dark. It's very dark. Mm-hmm. But I get to play, you know, kind of a comedic relief of the movie. Correction. It's actually technically a pilot. The director's hoping to expand it into a full series.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I just saw the picture that you had posted from it on your Instagram. Looked dark. I mean, just actually the overall picture, like it looked dark. It's funny because like then you watch, you know, you and Black Jesus and you're, you know, that probation officer that's just like crying all the time and yelling at everyone. And I just feel like it's good to have that range. You know what I mean? Like it's good to have that resume, both of those on your resume.
That you can do. Yeah, I was really surprised when Raymar was sent to me by my agent, because I was like, I don't know where this came from, but I will happily do it. And yeah, it's I got some pretty good feedback about my performance on it in particular. But then again, who's gonna walk up to me and say you suck?
Fair enough. So a couple more things. I got the prompt. We got about 7 minutes left on this session. First off, I just took my hat off and my hair looks like the Aldi brand version of your hair. Your hair looks fantastic. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thanks, man.
I told you, man, you got the look. You know what I mean? The hair is a big part of that, you know?
You got a nice head on. Yeah, I wouldn't sell yourself short with Aldi. I mean, Aldi's great. I love Aldi. You got the quarter and the push card.
Speaking of innovative, that's stuff right there. But, exactly. So you mentioned your bucket list. So you got medieval drama now that you could take off. What else? Yeah. What are some other things on there?
Oh, man. I mean, I truly want to get back to theater at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to work in New York. I've always felt myself as more of a New York person versus an L.A. person. I've learned to really love L.A.
Yeah.
But I just, when I made the move out here, I just knew a couple more people out here than I did in New York.
Yeah.
So I want to get back to New York. I want to do more live theater. I'd like to do like a really fucked up guy, like someone who's like a really disturbed person.
Okay.
I feel like I get a lot of I don't know. I do a lot of comedic relief. I try to keep a lot of my performances pretty grounded in reality.
Yeah.
Occasionally I get, I had an audition for this thing a while ago, where I was this like, it's dark, you know, so, yeah. You know, content warning. I was this, mass shooter who was in jail getting interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that sounds very interesting. I'd be very interested in reading that. And I read it, and the character was just like the most evil, like horrible person to have been written. And as I was reading it, though, I was like, it's almost too much. It's almost like this writer was like, how fucked up can I, you know, what's the worst combination of words I can put together for this guy?
Yeah.
During the callback for that, I had some questions about the character, and every answer the guy had was, he was like, no, you're just evil. You're just evil.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. That sucks. I want to be someone who's, you don't like for a reason. You know, not just because he is evil. So that's on the list for sure.
Yeah.
I want to star in Chicago. No, that's, I think those are pretty good. And like, you know, I would do a political drama or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sorkin-esque, where I can say a million things in a second. That could be fun.
I got you. Yeah, as far as the evil character you were talking about, I feel like, so you look at like traditional slashers like Michael Myers or Jason, and those guys, yeah, there's a bit of backstory, but for the most part, they're evil just for the sake of being evil. And a lot of the times, people are rooting for the slasher. Like, they go to see those movies to watch the... So, when you're talking about, like, a mass shooter or something, like, truly evil like that, I'm not trying to... Like, I don't want... Yeah, like you said, just evil, just being evil. Like, I want more to that, so...
I don't even need a voice for mass shooters at all.
Right, right.
I would like to, you know, have a character that accurately describes that type of person versus like, I mean, because you know, Mike Myers and those guys are they're plot devices. You know, they don't have lines. I mean, Freddy Krueger has some lines, some pretty fucking funny lines too, and that makes him memorable. But like, I don't know. I think what makes a very good villain is someone you understand why they're doing it. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Yeah. You. That's what makes everyone is like the. You're either the hero or the villain, and it just depends on how you make your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is more interesting than, you know, guy who wants to say something to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when I'm watching a villain, I really want to hate them. Like, to me, that's...
Yeah.
I like, a villain is someone you truly... Like Joffrey from Game of Thrones. It's like, fucking hated that guy. He quit acting, right? Because of all the hate mail or whatever?
Something like that? Everyone hated him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I just saw him... He's in the new season of Sex Education. I didn't even realize.
Oh, okay. So he's still doing it. That's good.
Yeah. I think he's back.
Yeah, he had to take some time off from... I'm sure the stuff he got was ridiculous because people love that show so much. So I mean,
It turns out he got out at the right time.
True. So we got about a minute and a half left. First off, thank you so much for doing this. I super, super appreciate it. You've been great. Second, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Joe. This has been lovely. As an actor, I always get to talk about myself, but I'm glad you asked me to do it, so that gives me a reason. Hashtag Chad Gets the Axe is available to stream all over. That's not a lie I made up. It's on video on demand. you can find it via the internet. And it's a good time. I promise it's a good time. Yeah. Otherwise, you can follow me on TikTok, which is just Spencer H11. That's about it. I'm in an indie feature called Bad Haircut that's coming out, but that's not going to be for a while.
Okay.
But keep an eye out on it, I guess.
Absolutely. All right, well, Spencer, thank you so much. And good luck with everything else in the future. Hope Raymar takes off.
Thanks, man. Yeah, good luck to yourself as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. That was Spencer Harrison Levine, actor, producer, writer, viral TikTok star, whatever you want to call him. He's great. He's killing it. That was probably one of the coolest interviews I've had. And I've had some cool people on here. And that guy just had it. You know what I mean? He just has it. So be on the lookout for Raymar. I am going to do what I can to find Chad Gets the Axe. Hashtag Chad Gets the Axe, because that does look like a really good time. Looks like a nice spooky movie. I hope I can handle it. I get motion sickness. Just throwing that out there. I'm a bit of a pussy for that, but I would love to give that a watch because horror comedy, it's probably my favorite genre. But yeah, it looks like a great time. So thank you, Spencer, for being on the show. I'm going to take a quick break, wrap this thing up. Be right back. All right, everybody, and we're back. Episode 86. 86, huh? Woo! 86. Your boy's coming in hot. Oh, coming hot. Woo, my God. 86, coming hot. We're starting off with a bang. Bang! Look at that. Oh, Jesus. Nonstop sexual innuendos right here. Anal. 69. All right, we're going to keep moving. Episode 86, Winterfest 86. Let's steal a cop car. Let's break into a school. Let's do some cocaine. All references to Hot Tub Time Machine, which I have watched twice since they added it to Netflix now. I almost said Netflix. What is up with me not pronouncing the X? Episode 86, Netflix, not episode 86 and Netflix. Netflix, that seems like some kind of measurement of, some kind of gym measurement. What's your Netflix? And then they flex their arm and they're like, yeah, it's what it is. Shows you how often I'm at the fucking gym. Anyway, episode 86, great interview with Spencer Levine. That was a lot of fun. He's a very, very cool guy and a very, very nice guy as well for taking the time to let me interview him. I'm a very low platform podcast. And so any celebrity or entertainer or content creator, whatever you want to call these people, actors, comedians, anything, anyone that isn't a friend, even my friends that take the time to come on, I'm appreciative of everyone because I know everyone has their shit. Everyone is busy. It's the reason my Halloween Hangover episode came out 2 weeks after Halloween was over and done with. Everyone's got their shit, so I'm sure he has his fair share of shit, whether it's, you know, auditions or future projects or anything like that. So the fact that he was able to take time out of his day is very cool. And I appreciate him for doing so. So keep an eye out on him. I definitely am. I think he's got it. Whatever it is, he has it. Right now, I feel like he's a sleeper, like a sleeper in fantasy, which is a reference he probably wouldn't get because he's not into sports, but a sleeper in fantasy football where it's like, you got him on your team because you like him. You know, he's a good guy. He's cool. He's solid. He'll get you a few points every game. But if one thing happens, boom, butterfly effect, and he blows up and he's big. Not physically blows up. That's God forbid. But that'd be pretty wild too. He'd make the news for sure then. But blows up fame-wise, and he's just the next big thing, and he's the guy, and I think he has that potential. So definitely keep an eye out for him and definitely try to check out hashtag Chad Gets the Axe because it's a different horror film from a lot of horror films that you get nowadays. I know in the last episode I kind of talked about like The Exorcist Believer being kind of like not a lot of new things going on, so I wasn't that impressed, but this one looks like a lot of fun, so I might actually go ahead and rent that. Anyway, thank you, Spencer Harrison Levine. I appreciate your time, and hopefully we're buddies now or something. So if you do get famous, he'll be like, yeah, I was on his podcast back in the day. That's my guy. Shout out. He did shout out Walmart. So I guess a shout out to me wouldn't be the biggest crazy thing. I've seen Stranger Things, which is a reference to the interview because he said anyway, moving on. Moving on, we are going to wrap things up right here, burrito style. I want to wrap up with a quick story I found out about. I just saw the article, and the article Sorry, I saw the headline of the article, and that was enough to intrigue me and pull me in. So I actually haven't read all the comments or the whole thing, so you are getting a live play-by-play. This is about one Billie Eilish, who, little preface here, not preface, preface. Billie Eilish is someone that I never really gave a shit about, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean indifferent. Indifferent is a better word. Less hostile word. Didn't love her. Like, don't love her, don't hate her. Just kind of, she's there and I'm here, and outside of the song Bad Guy, I honestly could not name you another Billie Eilish song. And I'm sure she's great. She's got her following. To me, she kind of seems like an emo Lady Gaga. I saw her on Hot Ones. She seems like a really fun, like, cool person. I'm sure if she was at the bar, I would try to talk to her. Not just if she was famous, like if she was just a regular Joe, eh, like me, then I'd walk up and, you know, I probably wouldn't approach her. Because she does seem pretty cool. Like, there's an intimidating factor to cool people in general. I get nervous talking to cool dudes. I'd be like just at work or something, just ringing someone out, like, so you like food, huh? It's good. Me too. Anyway, so here's the article. Here's what's happening. Billie Eilish did an interview with Variety. She did not come on Feel Good Friday, although I would gladly have her on if she ever wants to hop on the podcast. Speaking to Variety about the comments she gets about her body, Billy said, I've had big boobs since I was 9 years old. Look at that. Look at that. First quote, and me and Billy are already in the same boat. I've had big boobs since I was 9, so we're, God, already got this connection. I've had big boobs since I was 9 years old, and that's just the way I am. That's how I look. You wear something that's at all revealing, and everyone's like, oh, but you didn't want people to sexualize you? You can suck my ass. I'm literally a being that is sexual sometimes. Fuck you. All right. Immediate thoughts. Immediate reactions. Two reactions come to mind. First reaction. Big fan of the phrase usage here of suck my ass. I'm a big fan of saying suck my ass to people. Sometimes I'll pull a Stifler and I'll say, hey, let me get you a spoon so you could eat my ass. I just think that's a funny saying when someone pisses you off. Like, if someone says something you don't like, you say, all right, man, just suck my ass, and then you walk away. That's kind of winning. It's obviously not something you want to say in, like, a serious argument. Like, if it's an argument with your spouse or your parents, you can't just be like, you know, just like, I saw that you were, you know, I saw that you were messaging that girl, and you're cheating on me. You can't just be like, yeah, well, suck my ass. That's not the time and place for it. But if it's just a harmless argument between friends or something like that, just be like, yeah, suck my ass, dude. I don't know. Or eat my ass. Lick my ass is all right, but that gets a little too real right there, because then you start to visualize tongue to butthole, and it's just really, you don't want that. All right, so that's first thought. Second thought is, I agree. I feel bad for women because they get judged way harder than men do. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm saying it's fucked up, but that is the way it is. You can't go out with something that's showing a lot of cleavage, you know, emphasizing your ass, your assets even, crop top, short skirt, whatever. Guys will see that and they'll be like, wow, slut, your parents must be proud. You look like a whore, blah, blah, blah. All this awful, awful shit that they have no right to say, first of all. And technically they do, freedom of speech, all that bullshit. But, like, it's not, they don't really, they shouldn't be saying that. However, ladies, I will tell you this, guys say that stuff because they're just jealous. They're just jealous that they can't have it. They can't have you. And so they get mad and they result to name calling, and it's very childish and it's really fucked up. And I'm really sorry that you have to go through it. I'm really sorry that you have to go out and double check your outfit and kind of have this nervous feeling like, you know, am I being judged right now? Because I'll tell you what, I don't really get that feeling anymore. I don't. I kind of wear whatever I want to wear when I feel comfortable. I like to look good. Don't get me wrong. I really like to look good. I'd prefer compliments, but I've shown up to bars in a Margaritaville hoodie and neon pink shorts. Like, I don't, sweatpants, whatever. So clearly it's not the same for guys. I think girls deal with it a lot more. That's why they spend so much money on makeup and bras and panties. That shit's expensive, but they want to feel sexy. They want to look sexy. So they go and they spend this money. And, And yeah, like I said, makeup and just all these accessories that guys don't have to worry about. And then they buy all that and they still end up getting judged more than guys do. And it's really messed up. And girls just want to have fun, you know? Big shout out to my girl, Cindy Lauper. Girls just want to have fun. That's all they want to do. You know what? If you do dress slutty, I think you should embrace it. You know? I think you should make the guy feel bad right back at him. Obviously easier said than done. But just fire it back. Be like, you know what? Maybe I am a slut and I'm still not going to fuck you. So what does that say about you, you ugly sack of shit? You know, just fire it. And then he's going to be like, yeah, you're a whore. And it's, you know, you won. You won. Just know that you won. At the end of the night, that guy is going to think about that and be like, she wouldn't fuck me, huh? That sucks. And he's just going to jerk off before he goes to sleep. And you are probably going to find a better looking guy who treats you right and says the right things. And you can have him for the night. Or maybe long term. Maybe you find love in a hopeless place. Riri! So I agree with her there. And I'm very on her side there. But she goes on to say, Billy then argued that men aren't body shamed like women. She said, nobody ever says a thing about men's bodies. I'm going to stop the quote there. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'll read the whole thing. Nobody ever says a thing about men's bodies. If you're muscular, cool. If you're not, cool. If you're rail thin, cool. If you have a dad bod, cool. If you're pudgy, love it. Everyone's happy with it. You know why? Because girls are nice. All right, Billy, I'm here to tell you that I'm still in the same. It's obviously easier for men to wear what they want to wear and not be judged in public, but not all girls are nice. There are nice guys. There are nice girls. There are mean girls. There's a whole fucking movie about it. And there are lots of mean guys too. Are men pigs? Yeah, men are pigs, but girls do some awful shit as well. And as far as the judging physically, girls will, they, you know, it's not everything is accepted. Not everything is accepted. There are girls who don't want the dad bod. There are girls who don't want pudgy. There are girls who don't want some lanky, skinny twig fuck, slender man looking ass. There are girls who don't want the gym rat body, you know, muscular freak. Everyone has their preferences. Not everything flows, you know. I know plenty of girls who weren't into me because I have been rocking a dad bod well before I had Finnegan. I've kind of walked the fine line between dad bod and pudgy even. I'm saying it's surprising. Like I might be, no, I'm definitely walking that fine line. And girls, not all girls are into it. And I could be as funny as I want and as charming as I want. I'm not saying I am both of those things, but I've been told I'm both of those things. But I can be, and it's not going to work because they just don't want this kind of body. They want someone that's ripped and toned. So it's everyone has their preferences. Like a lot, height is a really important thing for men. That short guys, yeah, short kings is a thing, but like, a lot of guys are insecure about that. If you're under 6 foot, that hurts your chances significantly. I am 6 foot. So I'm right there. I'm lucky. But there are plenty of short kings that get really nervous because they know that their chances are hurt out the gate. And God, it's so great when they find the love of their life, or they find like the one or whatever, and it's just, or they leave with the girl. Oh, it's great. It's a celebration. Again, I'm not necessarily a short king, but I'm also not really tall. I'm right in between. I'm very average. I live the name Average Joe. I do appreciate that she said, if you have a dad bod, cool. That's what I took out of that. Probably not what she intended for me to take out of that. But also, guys' money is really important. Girls can be broke, but if they look hot, they're going to do fine. Guys will have to lie about their money. A lot of girls, again, this isn't everyone. I'm just saying some things the way that you said something, Billie Eilish. I'm talking directly to you because you're listening, I'm sure. Some things are like height, money, job in general. You know, those are just some of the things that guys are afraid that they're going to get judged by. You think I like, you know, going out and being like, yeah, Trader Joe's employee of the month. Yeah. It's not a line that's going to get me drowning in puss, if you will. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. There are two sides to every coin. However, I'm agreeing with you that men are pigs, and most likely they treat women worse than women treat men. But you see so many videos of like women openly admitting that they're cheating on their man and some of the shit that they do. So y'all aren't saints either. You can say that you're nice, and there are very nice women out there. There are also very nice men. Then there are a bunch of assholes. There's bitches. The world is a crazy melting pot. And it's not easy to find a solid, good group that you want to stick with. So, just saying. Billy also said, being a woman is just such a war forever, especially being a young woman in the public eye. It's really unfair. That I totally get. Being in the public eye at all, you're under a microscope. You have to be on your best behavior, say the right things, wear the right things, and it's really fucking unfair. And I think what's happened is that social media has gotten to a point where you just see all these Instagram models. So, and it's majority chicks, and they have the OnlyFans pages. And like I said, the IG pages, and they're on TikTok, and they have these, quote unquote, perfect bodies. Not even necessarily perfect to me. I know what I like. I like what I like. We all like what we like. I won't get into that. And a lot of girls will see that and they think that's what I have to be. Guys like that. And they don't take the time to look at all the other stuff that guys are into. Not all guys want that. I'm just gonna say, and this is nothing against like the skinny models or whatever. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not my bag of tea. I say bag of tea because it's funny. It's flip it around. It's tea bag. It's balls in the mouth. There's nothing funnier than dropping just a hot pair of nuts in someone's mouth. Tea bag. Anyway, they're just not my preference. When I put my arm around you, around your hip, I don't want to feel your hip bone. But there are plenty of guys that are into that. Plenty of guys that want that. There's markets for everything. And I think through OnlyFans and, the internet in general, like women have found that out. Feet pics are huge. Feet Finder is an actual fucking website that like they promoted on Barstool for a while. That's crazy. That's just public. Like, so feet are huge. And then there's role play. There's skinny, there's fat, there's thick, there's mom bods, there's granny porn. Like there's in every race, there's so many markets, there's so many preferences that I feel like you should just embrace who you are and love it and find your crowd, because I guarantee there's a guy that's into whatever you have, and if you have a fear of being alone, it won't be that way forever. I could promise you that. There's someone out there for everyone. Unless if you don't want there to be. That's what it is. If you just want to do you, then you do you if that's what makes you happy. But if you're worried about finding someone, breathe in, breathe out, move on because you're going to. It'll all be all right. But hey, that's just my opinion. Who am I? Some dumb fucking asshole? Probably. All right. That is going to be it for episode 86 of Feel Good Friday, Winterfest 86, Poison. I really enjoyed that interview with Spencer Levine. He's a really, really cool guy. And hope you enjoyed everything else that I brought to the episode, intro and outro. And I'll see you on the next one, episode 87, because that's how numbers work. You know, man.